came across to Terrace when we were still in South Africa. We were praying for this time here. And I came across the scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 from verse 1 to 7, where King David had died and Solomon had taken over the reins. And as I was reading through those first 7 verses, something just dropped in my spirit for Terrace, for the Rock Church. God is saying to you that it's time for you to transition to a new inheritance. It's time to transition to a new inheritance. What I mean by that, it means that God is wanting the Rock Church to make some adjustments because of the new inheritance that he has for you. There's a brand new inheritance that he has planned and purposed for you. And I was so blessed this morning during our prayer time with Corbin. He actually made the statement. He said, the future has shifted. There's been a shift in the future. And that just so confirmed what God had shown us before we even came here, that there has been a shift. And even with the eldership team being enlarged and coming in, God is doing something amazing through you. It is a new season. And when you look at those first 7 verses, when Solomon brought his leaders and everyone up into Mount Gibeon to worship God, he sacrificed 1,000 cows. That's a hang of a lot of sacrifice. That's a hang of a lot of cows. But you know what? It speaks of extravagance. And it speaks of worship. And that is why I gave that key to Karen, because I think she's going to be so key. As you guys go into your new inheritance, there are certain things that it's going to change. That's why you need to transition into it. And one of the things is the area of worship. God is going to take you into a deeper level of intimacy with him. And as you choose to press into that level of worship and intimacy with God, you're going to find strongholds will break off. You're going to find change happening in your hearts. You're going to find things that you have been struggling with and that you have been finding difficulty with. It's just going to change just like that. God is going to move suddenly because the face of this church is going to change as you transition yourself into the new inheritance he has. And when you look at that altar that was built on Mount Gibeon, it was a huge altar to keep on putting in the 1,000 cows of sacrifice, that extravagance of worship. There's a laying down of self. There is having to put aside things that have happened in the past, having to put aside your comfort, having to put aside things that you were used to that were same old, and say, Lord, this new thing you're doing, I want to tap into it, I want to get into it, I want to rise up and get with the program, as I always say in South Africa. That is what God is wanting to do. It's a season of change. It's a time of transitioning into a new inheritance for the Rock.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the word. And thank you for my beautiful wife. In Jesus' name. Transition is always a change from reading the story to becoming the story. Instead of reading about it, you become it. But this morning, what I want to talk about is the church in harmony to heaven sounds. It means the church is a community of people working together. The church is a giving community motivated by love. The church is a community both personally and as a body that grows. The church is a community who make much about Jesus. So if you would turn with me to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, please. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miracles, signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together, and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to everyone. They gave to everyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together. I'm just getting stuck on some words here. Every day they continued together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together. There's that word, together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let's just read Acts chapter 4, and we'll pick up on verse 34. And let's start with 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time those who owned lands and houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put them at the apostles, the leaders' feet. And it was distributed to everyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostle called Barnabas, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet, the leaders' feet. So this morning it's nearly afternoon already. This afternoon, we see that the verses that I've just read speaks about a church and a people that devoted themselves to apostles' teaching, breaking of bread, fellowship, as well as prayer. They loved the Bible. Many miracles happened in this church. After the folk had tithed and gave church offerings, they sold their goods. They sold houses and lands, and they gladly sowed the money so that the elders could perform their function according to the word of God. They joyfully met in the public gathering and in each other's homes. I think, like South Africans can, they partied a lot. We call it jol a lot. Say jol. Oh, jol. We jol. We have a party. The Lord added daily to their numbers. As I studied the book of Acts over the years, I often ask the question, can the Rock Church, or can the 21st century church, actually do what the first church did? And I often grapple with that. Do we have what it takes to be the church that God thought was an amazing church? And so, in the end, for me, I had to look at the ingredients of this church. Position myself a bit better. And I came up with four things. The first one is, the church is a community of people working together. Togetherness. Acts chapter 2:44 says, all believers were together and had everything in common. So what God considers the church, or when he considers the church, I think he looks at his sons and daughters doing things together. That when there's a call, listen, we need some helpers with the children, the whole church gets up. together we do it. Every gift, every person, everybody important and valued. Because God has gifted everybody differently. One translation says this, all believers were in wonderful harmony. You cannot have harmony in a song with just one voice. You got the alto, the tenor, the bass, and the soprano voices that blend together as if there was one voice, and even the angels of heaven get jealous when that's sung. So you have you have all the sounds of harmony. And this church has got a lot of musicians. Wasn't that amazing? Wonderful sounds when they sung together, but individually they sound sick. But when they're together, it's an amazing sound that comes. When a church is working in harmony, there's nothing like it in the world. When all the sounds are together and every person does its part, it's an amazing, amazing sound. Many scholars feel that the birth of the church happened when the 120 were in the upper room and were filled with the Holy Spirit and fire. Peter then goes out and he preaches a message. And the people were cut to the heart and they came to know Jesus. And Peter outlined the plan of salvation for them, and many were filled with the Holy Spirit and power. Peter said, repent and be baptized and be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 people came to know Jesus on that day and were added to the church. I believe you can never join a church. You can only be added to the church. Because when you join a church, you say to yourself, what can the church do for me? But when you add it to the church, you say, I have this gifting to be added to you so that the glory of God can be expanded. We are added to the King and the kingdom. And then he said, repent and see that this newfound faith has got some ingredients to it. It's got the ingredients, and they, the believers, and the church leaders of that day were together. Not only together, but they also had everything in common. It wasn't a one-man show. It wasn't individualistic. It was together. We do this to honor a king and his kingdom. This tells me that everybody had a great attitude. And I think they had a great attitude because they had one thing in common. They had no agendas, but they had Jesus as a common goal to make his name great. Working together to make Jesus great. Working together so that fellow believers in Christ can be blessed. Working together to show the city Jesus. And sometimes you use words. Working together, praying together, worshiping together, dancing together, having fun together, headbutting the world together, hugging together, weeping together, laughing together, just together. Doing everything together, sharing meals together. Picture the Rock community working together to reach those who don't know Jesus in your city. Picture the Rock Church being a community of believers who sell things so that the gospel can be preached and the needs of your community can be met. Picture the Rock Church having members who are willing to be sold out to the Bible and to Jesus. That was the baby church. It wasn't really the baby church. That was the first church. They were sold out to that. 3,000 believers get saved and they get sold out to this. Where have we gone to with the church? I do believe that God sees the Rock, or when he sees the Rock, he wants to see the picture of community working together and adding value to the church his son is building. That was the of the harmony I'm talking about. The church working together has a second harmony. Oh no, that came out. something like that. The second harmony is the church as a giving community, but motivated by love. You know, we don't give tithes. We bring it as an act of sacrifice to God. You don't tithe to Mark and Mo and the elders. You don't even tithe to the rock. You tithe to Jesus Christ. We discussed from Acts chapter 2:44 that the church is a community that works together. The second voice, that I won't do again because I think I'm going to lose my voice if I carry on with that. I want to talk about is giving. The church is a giving community motivated by love. Acts chapter 2:45 says this: selling their possessions and goods, they gave. When I think about this verse, it makes me scary and nervous. Because whenever you talk about money, people, but this first church didn't hassle with it. Because God saved them. God blessed them. God gave them eternity. And so to give financially was nothing to them, because they worshiped God. David said, I'll never go into the presence of God empty-handed. Even if you put your tithes and offerings in through the bank system, let it be an act of worship unto God. Many of us want to be like the first church in the book of Acts. Amen? And straight away we think of the power. Because it was a powerful church. But how about us thinking that in the power there was also sacrifice? And if we want to be like the first church, we need to be a people that sacrifice as well. What about you? Can you think of the last time you sold something to help someone or to help the church leadership so that the gospel can be preached? So that in some of the areas where the people haven't heard the name of Jesus, some of you evangelists can go to preach the gospel. How many of us are prepared to sell again something so that the gospel of Jesus can be preached and that the needs of your community can be met? You know, so many people I find when I go through to many of the first world places that they give to orphanages and they give to that. But how about starting to lay some money at the elders' feet so that they can distribute it according to what God has. Now, I know the church has messed up. I know many people are calling for money and they keep it for themselves. But I've seen an eldership team here that if you put money at their feet, they're going to honor God because they know where their help comes from. How about us getting biblical with this point? That's why it probably came out wrong, because it's quite a hard one to talk about. The first one, togetherness, is easy. This one is But it should be very, very, very nice. What made these new believers so generous? Why were they willing to sell and give? They were motivated by love. Love for Jesus and love for each other. And love for people. Why do we tithe? We tithe because of Jesus. Paul told the Corinthian church not to give because they are forced to or out of compulsion, but because God loves a cheerful giver. That's why he said give. Ladies and gentlemen, it is more about attitude than the amount that you give. We give from a place of blessing to receive blessing. Because Genesis 14 verse 18 says, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. What does bread and wine talk about? Jesus. This is in Genesis. He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed Adam. Then Adam gave him a tenth of everything. And then Hebrews chapter 7 says, we still do it in the same way. Before the law, during the law, and in the dispensation of grace. Nothing has changed. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing and we can obey his principles and commands. Amen. I want to set you free today. That it's not because you are told to do it. It's because we're worshiping God with a very blessing. He gives us 100%. 100% salary. 100% gifting. And he says, steward 90% of it and give to me as an act of worship your 10%. That's a glorious thing to honor God. And it's good. How good is that? How good is that? This text, however, is not talking about the tithe and the offerings. It's talking about being generous believers. Stop for a moment and think all about what God has given you. He gave you breath to breathe, air to breathe. He's given you strength to be here today and sit through another 10 minutes of Kenny talking. He's given you family. He's given you children. He's given you health. God has blessed us more than we could ever want to be blessed. And so out of this context, turn with me quickly if you can, to Mark chapter 12. I don't want to labor and think I'm gunning money, but this was the first church. This was like the example for us to follow. Mark chapter 12 verse 41. Jesus sat opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came in and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of the penny. Calling his disciples, he said to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put in more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live in. So just a few thoughts. First, you notice that Jesus watches the offering. Jesus does watch what we do with our money. Not because he's a tyrant or anything. He just wants generosity. We don't do generosity. We are generosity because our Father is generous. It's not something we do, it's something we are. The rich threw in large amount, but Jesus said they only gave out of their wealth and not according to biblical principle. They didn't give out of love. Jesus does want us to take note that whether we give out of our wealth or whether we give out of our poverty, that sacrifice and worship is the key because we love him. And that's what Jesus was pointing out here. God is interested in our giving, but more, he's interested in our attitude. We cannot have harmony with just the one voice of togetherness. We need to have harmony with the second voice of the early church, and that is giving generously. Let's be generous, church. Let the Rock be known as a generous church, who is willing to give because they love God and they love what God is doing. It has been a delight for me. There's many, many times, honestly, for me and Maureen, that we cut our salaries so that others can go into the nations. It doesn't make us heroes, but I want to tell you, if we have a love for God and for the lost and for people that need to be saved and for the poor, we will give. And we will be prepared to sacrifice so others can get to know Jesus. You see why they caught this in the beginning? And how far we strayed a little bit? And I'm not being horrible with you. But seriously, we've lost something of the togetherness of church, of generosity. And then we look at, become part of the harmony of togetherness and giving. And the third part, of the church makes a wonderful sound that is pleasing to God. And the church is to be, number three, a growing community, both personally and as a body. People in the Rock need to take responsibility for their own growth and then be able to encourage others. You see, we always run from conference to conference And we could run from pastor to pastor. We could run everywhere and never grow. But you get before God yourself and grow. Somebody asked me recently, how do I hear God? I say, take the Bible and read it loud for 10 minutes a day and you hear God. Just get into the Bible. Just get into worship. Just learn how to refresh yourself. Because the river of living waters flows from a throne. The curtain's been torn. And every believer enters in themselves. So how do we get refreshed? We get refreshed by going in ourselves. You don't go through the priest anymore. Maybe Tim, but you know, Steve and Mike. We don't go through human anymore. We go through a curtain that was torn. We go in ourselves and we sit on Father's lap and we get refreshed ourselves. There have been days I wonder, what am I doing? It seems so little is happening. I see very little progress. And then I have a choice at that moment. Do I grow or do I give up? Think of your work, walk with God. You may have started the journey with Jesus with great zeal, but somewhere along the line, you could have got hurt. You have a choice today. Do I give up or do I grow up? Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, we read in this passage so full of hope and joy. We look at those verses, and number one, they continued means that the church was moving forward. Are you personally moving forward? Because if you move forward, this church will move forward. So you don't hold anybody back. I always say to our leaders that if people have to follow the outcome of your way of life, then you need to be a step ahead so people don't backslide to follow you. This church, in the beginning, continued. They carried on and they moved on. They broke bread in their homes, means that the church was together and they were giving. Glad and sincere hearts and praising God means that the church was thankful and expressed it openly. Enjoying favor with people means that the community they lived in liked having this church around because this church was a blessing to its community. And many were added to them daily. When we come back next year, should the elders invite us back, I want to see every seat filled. Not because of Mike and my own elders, but because you're fulfilling the togetherness, the giving, and the growing by the grace of God for His glory. The Lord added means that the Lord was able to trust this church with new souls, with a church, with people. And He added to them daily. Let this church be a church God trusts and many to come in and give their lives to Jesus. Amen. This church sang in harmony by being together, being generous givers, and growing themselves in the Lord as they got close to Jesus. Have you ever seen a pool of water that's been standing for a long time? We have some of them in South Africa. The water begins to stink, and poisonous bacteria begins to grow in the water because there's nothing flowing into it and nothing flowing. What about you today, dear friend? Are you standing still in your walk with God? Or are you allowing rivers of living water to flow from heaven and flow out of you? That if God blesses you, you become a blessing to others. Think about it. As a church serving together to make much of Jesus, as a church of generous givers, giving cheerfully from a heart of love, a church where believers choose to grow. And then the fourth harmony. Make much of Jesus. Make much of Jesus. Togetherness. Giving. Growing. Make much of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.